Haggai chapter 2 in verse number 1. All right, the Bible says here, in the seventh month, in the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. And be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I have coveted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, Yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. All right, now there in verse 4, he says it three times. Be strong, be strong, be strong. So that's the title of the message today. Be strong, be strong, be strong. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, I come to you again now in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I do pray, Lord, that you fill me with your Spirit here today. I pray, Lord, you'll use me. I pray you'll give me your words. I pray you'll give me clarity of thought here as we look at your word and go through your word. Lord, and I pray you'll do what only you can do, and that's to speak of the hearts of those here today. And Lord, maybe there's somebody here today over the internet, I don't know, but you do, that needs to be born again. I pray that today, Lord, is their day of salvation. But Lord, we'll give you the glory and honor for what you do here today. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now in 539 B.C., the Persians and the Medes, led by King Cyrus, defeated the Babylonians in a fierce battle, just like Daniel had predicted. The Babylonians were so badly defeated that the capital city of Babylon opened its gates wide open, and the Persians didn't even have to fight to come in. Now, like the Babylonians, the Persians adopted a wise policy of incorporating those captured exiles back into the society. These captured exiles were given the opportunity to rebuild their lives despite being into a foreign land, and everything. They were given the right to a job. They were given the right to own land. They were given a right to rebuild their lives. And we see that in Daniel. We see that in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But this strategy was a wise strategy because it would rebuild the nation, both economically and militarily. But the Persian King Cyrus took it a step further, right? 1 year after the defeat of Babylon, he proclaimed himself to be the liberator of the people, and he allowed any exile who desired to return to his own homeland. And among those who were released were the Jews who had been taken captive in the fall of Jerusalem in 586 B.C. And King Cyrus anointed Zerubbabel to be governor over Judah and the returning exiles. Now, when they first arrived there, the first thing they were to do was to build an altar to the Lord to sacrifice, and then rebuild the temple. They were to rebuild the temple. They were to construct a new temple. But however, unfortunately, some things arose. Some opposition came from Israel's enemies, and the work was stopped for several years. But now in 520 B.C., God brought Haggai. He brought the prophet Haggai to encourage the people to complete the task of finishing the temple. Haggai is the first prophet to minister to Israel after the return of the Babylonian captivity and the destruction of Solomon's first temple there back in 586 B.C. And the people responded to God's man, and they began to build the temple again. But after only 1 month, they got discouraged. They got discouraged in what they were doing, and they wanted to quit. Hey, have you ever been discouraged? Any of you discouraged today? Hey, it's easy to get discouraged. We can get discouraged. Discouragement is something we all deal with from time to time. It happens to us. But even though discouragement does come, and it does come to everybody, it does not have to be the end. It does not have to be final. It does not have to defeat us. We do not have to let discouragement defeat us. We can defeat discouragement. With God, we can have the hope, we can have the strength, we can have victory in defeating discouragement. And through the preaching of God's Word, through Haggai, and the faithfulness of the people, the temple was completed in 516 B.C. So today I'm going to give you some truths here. I'm going to give you some truths on the people's discouragement and how we can be strong in the Lord. First of all, I want you to look here at the present situation in verses 1 through 3. We see here their present situation. And look particularly here at verse number 3. The Bible says, "Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing?" Now Haggai prophesied in 520 B.C. and the first temple, Solomon's temple, was destroyed in 586 B.C. So it has been some 66 years since that first temple was destroyed. Since the glamour and wealthy temple of Solomon was destroyed. And some of the older generation remembered that temple. They remembered how it used to be, and they remembered the luxurious temple that they had. And now they began making comparisons, and it was causing some of the people to become discouraged. Right? The smallness of their project, the smallness of their present situation was no comparison to the glory of the past. Compared to Solomon's temple in all of its fine, extravagant gold and silver, the second temple was nothing. And that older generation wept when they saw the new temple, and in their eyes, this new temple was nothing. It was a waste of their time. They did not want to spend their time and energy on it. They wanted nothing to do with it. Hey, look, if we are not careful, we too will get caught up in the comparison game. We will start looking and comparing things, and we will become discouraged as well. Hey, we compare our husbands to the TV shows. We compare our wives to whoever else we're comparing. But we compare, right? We compare our children, right? We compare our present situation with the things with the way things used to be in the past, or even the way that we perceive things to be, right? That's why I say Facebook. You get off Facebook. Why? Because it's all a bunch of lies, right? People only put the best things on Facebook. Right? They don't put the struggling times on Facebook. It's all a lie. And you see that and you're like, wow, why can't my husband be like that guy? Why can't my wife be like that guy? I start comparing things in my mind, and then we compare things even in the church. We remember how the church used to be. We remember how it used to be in the past. But here's the thing. We remember the past as being better than it was, so the present seems worse than it is. But when we live in the past, we disregard our present situation, and you know what happens? Then you get discouraged. Then you get discouraged, and we miss God's promises. Right? We sang about those promises today. God's book is full of promises that He gives us, right? But we forget those. Here's the key to defeat discouragement. You want to defeat discouragement? Praise the Lord. Just start praising the Lord. Right? In Psalm 150 verse 1, the Bible says, "Praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power." Just praise the Lord. Psalm 42:11 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Just start praising the Lord. Hey, praise is powerful. Praise will overcome discouragement. Have you tried it lately? Have you tried it? Do you try it? Hey, when discouragement comes, just start verbally praising the Lord. Praise Him for how good He is. Hey, praise the Lord for His goodness. Praise the Lord for His mercy. Praise the Lord for sending His Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Just praise the Lord. Just start praising Him. Right? That's one thing with our Wednesday night special, the very first thing we do is we praise the Lord. Hey, who has praises? Right? We want to praise the Lord. And that sets the tone for the whole service. Right? We're praising the Lord because that's why we're here. We're here for Him. When we start praising the Lord, you know what that does? It shifts our focus from inward to outward. Right? It no longer looks at us, but we're looking at Him, at the Lord, at Jesus Christ. It takes the focus off of me and it puts it on Him. If you remember, Paul and Silas were beaten and they were in prison, and yet they prayed and they praised the Lord and they were delivered. Over in Acts chapter 16, verses 25 and 26, the Bible says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose." Now think about it. Paul and Silas were beaten. They were beaten with rods. They were stripped. They were in prison. They were put in chains. And can you just imagine the pain? Their backs are lacerated. They're bleeding. They're put into this rat-infested, roach-infested, dark, smelly dungeon. And what do? They praise the Lord. They praise the Lord for His goodness. We cannot look at our present situation and be discouraged with what we see when we're praising the Lord. Praising the Lord. 1 Peter 4:16, the Bible says, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God." Hey, that's what we need to do. We just need to glorify God. Gilead Baptist Church, we just need to glorify God. Hey, whatever it is you go through, whatever it is you're struggling with, whatever infirmity God has on you at this time, praise the Lord for His goodness. Praise the Lord. God has a plan. He has a will. He has a perfect will for each one of us. All right? His will first starts with getting born again. You got to be born again. You got to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. He paid it all on the cross of Calvary. He shed His blood and died, and He rose again the third day. And the Bible says if you receive Him, He'll save you. If you receive Him as your Savior, He'll take you to heaven when you die. Hey, if you receive Jesus Christ, you have all your sins forgiven one day. But you see, when we hold on to our past, we're refusing to serve God in the present, and we miss what He has for us right in front of our face. You see, God was there when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. God was there. God did that. Okay, God did that. Moses didn't do it. God did that. He crossed the Red Sea. God was there in the glory days of Solomon's temple as well. Even when we may not see the outcome, we may not see the goodness of it, praising God confirms our faith in His promises. If you remember when Jehoshaphat's army sang praises, God gave them victory without lifting the sword in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verses 21 and 22. Can you flip over there really quick? Hold your place here and flip over to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and look there in verses 21 and 22. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In verses 21 and 22, look at these verses here. They sang praises to the Lord, and the Lord did a mighty work here. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, in verse 21, the Bible says, "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever." Verse 22, "And when they began to sing and to praise," get this, "the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten." Hey, they were praising the Lord, and the Lord delivered them. Hey, praise the Lord. Hey, if Israel in our text in Haggai, if Israel would have praised the Lord, if they wouldn't have looked at what only the eyes could see, but if they would have praised the Lord for the opportunity to even rebuild the temple, I think they would have had a different perspective on things. Hey, what about you? What are you looking at through your eyes that only you can see, and you're not allowing God to take care of it and to show you? Hey, you're going through pain. Praise the Lord. You're going through suffering. Hey, praise the Lord. Are you discouraged? Praise the Lord. Are you defeated? You feel defeated? Are you suffering with depression? Praise the Lord. Hey, is life not going the way you think it should? Is life not going the way you think it should? Just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for His protection. He is good. Let me give you a second thing here. I want you to see not only the present situation, but I want you to see the past situation here. Back in our text in Haggai chapter 2, look there in verses 4 and 5. Haggai chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, he tells us right there, he says, "Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. And be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not." Hey, God had issued the clear-cut command here. He issues a command to the people that they must conquer their discouragement. They must not let it defeat them. They must be strong and finish the work that God has given them to do. And the people needed to remember that. God did not leave them out there on their own. They were not just wandering on their own strength. God had made a covenant with them in the past when they came out of Egypt. He was still with them. He's still with us today. He has not left us. Don't look at this world and, oh, this world, the devil has taken full charge of this world and this world is evil and wicked. Yes, it is. But God has not left us. He could come back today. He could come back right now. You know, the rapture could happen right now. But the Spirit of God has not left these people. He's not left us. Don't get discouraged. Don't let that defeat come into our life. We serve a risen Savior. He is alive. He is at the right hand of God as we speak, making intercession for us. Now, the Lord promised to provide everything that they needed to fulfill their call and to complete this task of rebuilding the temple. And because it was His plan, it was His will, they could press on and they could just trust the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." And Haggai's response to the discouragement in the people's hearts was simple. He told them three times there in verse number 4 to be strong. Look there, Haggai 2:4, he says, "Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. And be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work." Be strong. Work, continue it on. Why? "For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts." Work, be strong. I am right there. Hey, there, he reminded them about the time when they had no temple. All right, when they came out of Egypt, God was willing to dwell with them in a tent in the wilderness. Hey, I'm with you. And that's all that matters. Hey, if you have Jesus, that's all you need. Can I just say that? If you have Jesus, that's all you need. You don't need anything else. Hey, you lost a spouse. You have Jesus, that's all you need. Hey, you lost a job. You have Jesus, that's all you need. Hey, you're discouraged today. Do you have Jesus? That's all you need. Be strong. Why? Continue the work. Why? Because I'm with you. I am with you. Hey, if you have Jesus, that's all you need. Now, remembering the past is not a good thing. Living in the past is never a good thing. And Jesus said in Luke 9:62, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." You see, the Christian life is meant to be moving forward. We're not to be looking back. It's meant to be going in one direction, and that direction is forward. It's never backward. You cannot be looking back and moving forward. Looking forward slows you down, doesn't it? Slows you down. Philippians 3:14, the Bible says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And I'm pressing forward, right? I'm pressing toward that mark. There in our text in verse 5, the Bible says there that my spirit remaineth among you. Hey, God says, I'm still here. Okay? I'm still here. Hello? Right? God knocking on your heart today, reminding you, hey, I'm still here. I'm still in control. I still have a plan for you. Hey, He's telling them here, Abraham is gone. Moses is gone. David is gone. Solomon is gone. Listen to me. The old temple is gone. It will never be back again. But hey, I am still here. Fear not. But you see, they looked there at that temple and they looked at it and they remembered the splendor and the magnificence of Solomon's temple. And they looked there and they were discouraged. They were discouraged. But here's the thing. God was not concerned with that external appearance of the new temple. He wasn't concerned. As far as He was concerned, this house was as much His house as the first house. He was just as prepared to dwell in this new house and meet His people in this new house and bless this new house as He ever was. He's telling them to forget the past. Forget the past. Forget about who isn't here. Forget about the things that you don't have anymore. Those things are gone. They're gone forever. But you know what? God is here. God is here right now. God is here right now. He is with you. He's never left you. His power is still the same. So what do? We just keep working. We just keep working. Don't look back. Don't be intimidated by the circumstances of what's going on. Whatever we're going through, whatever is binding us, whatever is causing us to be discouraged, don't look back on it. Move forward. Jesus says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's always with us. Right? When we feel like we're all alone, we're not all alone. That was a lesson they needed to hear, but it's a lesson we need to hear too. We need to hear that today. Too often we get caught up in the same thing. We look at how things used to be, forgetting that the God of yesterday is still the God of today. Jesus Christ does not change. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. But you see, life is all about Him. Life is all about the Lord. We get caught up in me, 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 me. But life is all about the Lord. It's all about His glory. Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. We just need to quit looking at the past. And number three here, want you to see the future situation. The future situation here, if you look there at Haggai chapter 2, look there and we'll finish this up here. Verse number 6 says, For thus saith the Lord of hosts, Yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. And they had to let go of the past. We must let go of the past. Forget the memories of that first temple. This temple would never be as magnificent as the first temple. It wasn't going to happen. They had to accept it. The past needs to be left in the past if they were going to accomplish anything for God today or in the future. In a spiritual sense, this is the truth we need today. It may be that you need to let go of some painful memory from the past. Some painful memory in the past that keeps coming up, it's keep haunting you and taunting you, you need to let it go. Hey, it may mean that you need to forgive somebody for something they've done to you. Even though they don't admit that they've done anything wrong, you need to have forgiveness for them. Hey, it may mean that you need to let go of some dream that's always pulling you away from the Lord and His will for your life. Whatever it is, regardless of what is holding you back, you need to let it go. Let the Lord have full reign in your life. Quit holding on to those things. It's time to quit holding back and let the Lord do what only He can do. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, you see here David and his men had returned from Ziklag to find it burned down. It was burnt down, and their families were taken. They were kidnapped and taken captive. And David was overwhelmed with grief. And the men wanted to stone David, okay? But David, he was discouraged. And the Bible says in Isaiah, First Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6, David was discouraged, but he did something remarkable. And the Bible says there in 1 Samuel 36, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord." David encouraged himself in the Lord. You say, how could somebody do that? You got to get real close to the Lord. You got to get real close to Him. And David sought Him in prayer, and through prayer, David went out and recovered everything, got everything back. You see, even though we go through times of discouragement, we must not forsake God. Too many of us, things come on us, and that's what happens in this world. There's one thing after another. And what do? We forget God. We wake up in the morning and we forget to read our Bible. We wake up in the morning and since got to read our Bible, we forgot to pray. And now we've gone out into the world with no shield, no defense. We've not read our Bible. We've not prayed. And so we're going out into the world. We've forgotten God. And so what do you think is going to happen? How do you think this day is going to go? Right? That discouragement, that defeat's going to come on us very quick. We got to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We got to draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. In 1 Kings chapter 19, you might remember this one, when Elijah had called down fire from heaven. You know, he had his big triumph there in Mount Carmel, and right after that, Elijah fled in the wilderness because Jezebel said she was going to kill him. Elijah's on the mountaintop. One woman, Jezebel, says, "Hey, I'm going to kill you," and it put him right into the pit. He flees and he goes out into the wilderness and he gets so discouraged that he says he wants to die. In 1 Kings chapter 19, in verse 4, he says, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, 'It is enough, now, O Lord, take away my life.'" Take away my life. He's discouraged. Why? Because Jezebel's after him. But what does he do? In verse 5 says, "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, 'Arise and eat.'" God sent an angel. He sent an angel and he gave him food. He gave him angel's food and he strengthened Elijah. Point is this: God will meet our needs. God will meet our needs. He will bring us out of that loneliest moment, helping us to persevere. We got to draw nigh to Him, don't we? We can't forget to read our Bible in the morning. Can't forget to pray in the morning there before we start our day. Job was another man who suffered extreme, unimaginable loss. You remember he lost his children, he lost his wealth, he lost his health. And in Job 13:15, he says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in Him." No matter what happened, he just lost his kids, his health is gone, and he says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in Him." How many of us would say the same thing? Those trials that came on Job, at what point would you and I quit? The loss of kids, the loss of our health, the loss of our wealth. But you know what's good is, because all these things came upon Job and he didn't know what was going on in heaven. He didn't know that the devil and God had a conversation. He didn't know any of that, but yet he did what? He stayed faithful. He stayed faithful to God. He stayed faithful. And in the end, we know that God restored Job's fortunes and He gave him more kids and He blessed him with more than he lost. Point is this: we just need to be faithful to serving Him. In Psalm 34:17, the Bible says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Gilead Baptist Church, hey, the future is looking good. The future is worth looking to. Are you willing to look for the future? Are we willing to quit living in the past and look to the future? Let go of the past and look to the future. The Bible says in our text in verse 9, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. Now, how could this be? We look at it and we say, how could this be? How could this second temple be even more beautiful, greater than the former? How could this be? Well, you see, God knew what these discouraged men didn't know. He knew that in 500 years approximately, that God would send forth His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into the world, and this temple would be the temple that would greet Jesus Christ. They didn't know that. They were building the temple for Jesus Christ one day. This is just a reminder for us that, hey, we never know how God will use our efforts today. In the back of the church right now, we have a bunch of kids in the back in the junior church. We've been doing that for a few weeks now, junior church. Right? We don't know what the Word of God can do with these kids. If we don't give them the Word of God, who knows what could happen to them, where they'll end up. They may never get it. But the Word of God could be given to a young person, and he can go on and change the world like a D.L. Moody. Somebody like that. Hey, the future is worth looking forward to. Hey, just keep our hands on the plow. Keep going forward. You never know how the Lord will use your efforts today, tomorrow, in the future. Remember, God told the people to what? To be strong, but not only to be strong, but to work. We need to get to work. We need to get to work. We don't need to let our discouragement, we don't need to sit in the pews and let our discouragement hinder us. That's a tendency, right? When things come upon us, we want to quit on God. But God says, get up, get to work, all right? Don't let that sidetrack you. Don't let it derail you. We all find times of discouragement sometimes, but don't let that distract us. Right? Come on out on Saturdays and not doors. Come on out and sign up kids to come to church on Sunday. Come on out and pass out tracts. Hey, you want to do something? Come talk to me about it. Go out and start something. Right? Nothing gets done if nobody starts something. He said, go to work. It's time to go to work. We have the marching orders. The Bible's our marching orders. But as I begin to close here, turn over to Romans chapter 13. Turn over to Romans chapter 13. And let's look here at a couple of verses in verse number 11. In Romans chapter 13, look there at verse number 11. Romans 13, verse 11 says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Underline that. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Hey, we need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe somebody here today needs to put on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Maybe somebody doesn't know for sure they're going to heaven when they die. Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You're here today, you can receive that free gift of salvation. You can receive that free gift of Jesus Christ. Eternal life, it's there. He's there. You can have it today. Hey, maybe you're here today and you need to put on Jesus Christ. You say, "I'm saved, I know I'm going to heaven," but maybe we need to put on Jesus Christ, and He says there, "and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Hey, some of us need to quit looking at ourselves and start looking to Jesus. We need to take that focus off of ourselves and put that focus on Jesus Christ. And when we do that, things will change. The discouragement will go away. The defeat will go away. That depression will go away. When we take that inward and put it outward to Jesus Christ, you see, it's all about Jesus. Everything in this world is all about Jesus. Everything in this life points to the cross. You got to come to the cross. You got to come to the cross. And once you come to the cross of Jesus Christ, put on Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust there is. You see, here's the thing. Your discouragement, or whatever it may be, your discouragement may be God's appointment to bring you to the cross for forgiveness, for salvation. It starts with salvation, but once you're saved, maybe that discouragement has brought you to the place here today where you need forgiveness. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can have that promise here today. Hey, back to our text. The temple gets rebuilt. God told them, be strong, be strong, be strong. Keep working. Right? Don't worry about what the eye can see. Just be strong. Be strong and be faithful to the Lord. Be faithful to the Lord. Let's pray.